Today is the last of four Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. The apostle wrote to the Christians at Colossae to remind them that all true religion and spirituality are found only in the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen, and exalted to the glory which was his before the creation of the universe, because the Son of Mary is the eternal Son of God, the omnipotent Word, by whom, for whom, and through whom all things were made. We read last week that a right relationship with the living God comes to us ordinarily through baptism, by which we are washed clean of our sins and made members of Christ's body, the Church. But this configuration through baptism to the dying and rising of Christ requires of us that we learn to live in keeping with the dignity of our baptism. St. Paul wrote, "You were buried with Christ in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead." And now in today's second lesson we read, "If you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This dying and rising of which the apostle speaks is more than metaphorical, it is sacramental. The holy mystery of baptism actually brings about in us what it signifies, the death of the child of wrath and the second birth of the child of God. And that is both why we should shape our lives according to the liberating word of God and how we are able to do so. Only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ do we find the strength to do what Paul exhorts us to do. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Put simply, wealth, power, pleasure, and honor are not what we were created for, and they do not fill the human heart with what it most longs for. And if we raise up these things above the teaching of the Lord Jesus and above our true purpose, living for the praise of God's glory, then we make idols or false gods of blessings that should otherwise be small but legitimate parts of a happy, holy, and authentically human life. This is the wisdom at the heart of the preacher's proclamation in Ecclesiastes: "Vanity of vanity, all things are vanity." And in the gospel, we hear the Savior's warning about building a life on anything except the law of love. "Take care to guard against all greed," he says, "for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions," which is why we must learn how to be rich in what matters to God. Today is the last of four Sundays on which the second lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, but it is also the last of eight Sundays on which my bulletin column is an explanation of the principles of evangelical Catholicism. In those eight brief essays, I have attempted to unfold some of the practical consequences for us of rejecting false religion and living by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you have read these essays over the past 2 months, and if not, then please go now to the parish website and read them in the coming days. My friends, in our time, we are surrounded, as St. Paul put it to the Colossians, by empty and seductive philosophies that seek to captivate us. These ideologies seek to imprison us, even as they promise to liberate us, new versions of the serpent's original lie. Modern versions of ancient heresies like paganism and Gnosticism propose an alternative to the truth of the Word of God and seek to teach us a vision of human life that is simply contrary to the truth of the gospel and the dignity of our baptism. That is why being a Christian in our time requires a constant effort to distinguish the truth of the gospel from seductive lies and to find in our baptism the faith, hope, and love needed to follow the Lord Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. But to live as faithful disciples of Christ, we must first know and believe all that is revealed for our salvation. That is what we call the gospel, and it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. But more than that, once we know and believe all that is revealed in the gospel, then we must shape our lives according to that liberating truth and invite all others to do the same. And this we do through radical conversion, deep fidelity, joyful discipleship, and courageous evangelism. The way of life to which we are called by Christ is not easy, but it is the way that leads to happiness and holiness. We should therefore heed the Apostle Paul: think of what is above, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. This hope of glory sustains us when we are struggling to open every part of our lives and every corner of our hearts to the dominion of Jesus Christ and to allow his gospel to measure and correct everything about us. Our relationships, especially the romantic ones, our professional duties, our political choices, our financial decisions, and our personal behavior in every detail, including how we treat other people, most especially the poor, the despised, and the immigrant. In short, if Jesus is not Lord of all in my life, he is not Lord at all in my life. This radical surrender, of course, is beyond our strength. But the grace of our baptism makes it possible for us to die with Christ precisely so that we may rise with him and share his glory world without end. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.